that our evening services, we've begun thinking through the description that Jesus gives of those who have the approval of God, as we think of the words from the beginning of chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight we're going to be thinking of the words in verse 5, but I'm going to read for you from the beginning to the end of the verse marked 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let me invite you to take your Bibles, to have them open at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, this evening, where we find these words: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. If someone was looking at his career, they would most certainly think that he would qualify for being approached to deliver a TED Talk, or perhaps, in our culture, to sign him up to the after-dinner speaker circuit. They could think of his expertise. They could think about his experience in leadership. They could think about how he was able to resolve deep conflicts. They would be able to try and utilize his experience about how to overcome failure in early life. They would long to maybe come alongside Moses and say, well, listen, you can share so many things that other people could benefit from. And yet, when the Bible describes Moses, it does not describe Moses primarily for his leadership skills, for his conflict resolution, for overcoming his fear of public speaking. That's not what stands out in the Bible's teaching about Moses, because there's one feature that the Bible draws attention to with regard to Moses. And we have that in Numbers chapter 12, in verse 3. In this particular translation of the Bible, it says this: now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else in the face of the earth. What's important about that? Well, what's important about that is, first of all, the term humble is what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 5:5 as meek. It's exactly the same term. Here you have Moses, who was a very meek man, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. What stands out is not his experience. What stands out is not the impact that he has made, the legacy that he has left. What stands out is his character. And his character is one of meekness and humility. So hold that thought as we think of what Jesus says here in the start of this Sermon on the Mount, when he sits down, his people gather, and he's going to tell them what life in his kingdom, under his kingdom rule, where he lives and rules as king, we are his willing subjects. He tells us of the life that is approved by God. And he says it is, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are humble. What countercultural teaching this is, isn't it? When we're told that we need to assert ourselves, when we're going for a job interview, we need to ensure that we're communicating the best of our experience and abilities. We're trying to make sure that the people interviewing us would really want to have us. If we have the post, then we're to try and make ourselves indispensable. We're to increase our influence. All these things are part of our culture. And what Jesus says of those who are part of his culture is that asserting ourselves It's really not up there in the list of priorities. Rather, what Jesus expects of his people is that they would know this meekness and this humility. And he expects that for now, and he expects it for the future. Because he goes on to say in the second part of this verse, they're going to inherit the earth. Because Jesus is going to say, and he is saying that at the end of the day, when everything else is said and done, the only people who actually inherit anything are the people who will inherit everything. They will inherit the earth. And these people are not the powerful. They are not the influential. They are not the movers and shakers of this world, thought as this world analyzes them. Those who inherit everything are the meek. So it should be quite important then to figure out what on earth meekness is. And do we show this? Do we live this? Is this part of my character? Is this part of your character? So that's our direction of travel this evening. We're going to unpack what Jesus is teaching us here about meekness. Let's ask a few questions. First of all, what is meekness? Well, first of all, it's not another word for weakness. That's what often is what is said alongside meekness. Meekness and weakness, you know, those who are meek, they're lacking backbone. They're just way too accommodating. They don't know when they need to just stand up for what's important. There's a degree of weakness and fragility about them. Well, that's not what Jesus says. We're conscious that what Jesus says, what the world says, two very different things. Now, I know his generally speaking, when we talk about Friedrich Nietzsche, we're talking about kind of quite extremes, given the anti-God agenda that he had back in the day and how that impacted Germany over different kind of incarnations of the political sphere there. But he was one guy who talked about meekness, and he called it a false virtue. It's a false virtue that the weak applaud because it's the only virtue that they have, because they're weak. So meekness is all about weakness, as far as Nietzsche and some others would describe it, but that's not what Jesus says. And that's not what the Bible portrays either, because the Bible portrays those who are meek as those who are anything but weak. They have a strength in their character. They have a strength that is under control. They have a strength that is as strong as steel and yet has a gentle tenderness to it at the same time. They have a strength that's going to ensure they're not going to use what they possess to somehow run down, to somehow destroy and to harm. Rather, they're going to use their strength to help, to build up, to try and be a positive impact as they deal with others. And so meekness is not weakness as far as Jesus, as far as the biblical picture is concerned. And likewise, meekness is not tied to character traits. It's not that if you're an introvert, well, you're quite meek. And if you're an extrovert, you're not. It's got nothing to do with shyness. It's got nothing to do with personality type. In one sense, our experience doesn't define whether we are meek or not. It is not to do with confidence. It's not to do with any of these things, because meekness is, as we're going to see, a gift that God can give to us. But it is interesting, as we try and clarify that meekness is not weakness, that meekness, along with mourning, and as long with those who are poor in spirit, this first three of the elements of the Beatitudes, they're all dealing with having an appropriate understanding of who we are, of those who are not absolutely insisting upon our rights because we are always right and ready and we know what to do, but that there is that genuine sense of humility before God. So meekness is, it's not weakness, it is a strength under control. It is a strength that has got a tender, gentle application to it. And so that's what meekness is. So what does meekness give? Jesus answers that. And the meek, they will inherit the earth. Well, a very prominent New York businesswoman once said, in New York City, the meek don't inherit the earth, big mouths do. And that probably says an awful lot about how she thinks of New York City, whether she's a New Yorker or not herself. It's quite a statement. But Jesus is saying here two things. Jesus is saying two things about the future. Because he's saying, first of all, he's reminding us who actually controls the universe. Because when Jesus says, blessed, approved are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth, he is reminding us that actually this universe, the control of all things, that all authority actually rests with him. He is the one who has the control of the universe. He is the one who sustains all things. He is the one through whom all things were made, and he is the one through whom all things are sustained. He has that prerogative that you and I don't possess. And because he has that prerogative, he will then be able to decide as to who therefore inherits the earth. And so this phrase, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, reminds us that real power today does not lie with the US Army or the Chinese technology. Real power today does not rest with media moguls. It doesn't rest with Donald Trump. It doesn't rest with Elon Musk. It doesn't rest with artificial intelligence or any of the things that might be portrayed as where power rests today. No, Jesus is making it clear here that power actually rests with him. Because all history, with all of the emerging interplays of forces and vested interest, when all of this is reduced down, as you see these chefs reducing down ingredients when they're on their TV programs to whatever else they're trying to make, when all of these vested interests, when all of this, the interplay of these forces are reduced down, there is one group that emerges with absolute dominion. The meek. The winner takes all, as someone described it, is the meek. It's not the brash. It's not the arrogant. It's not the powerful. It is the meek. This is what Jesus says those who have this meekness will possess. Now, we've sung Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, which we began our service with, there's a number of references to the meek inheriting the land and the earth that God would give. And for the Old Testament people of God, as they are thinking of the land, well, they're thinking of the promises of God as it culminates for them in this physical area that they might be able to live in. But of course, we sing these words through the lens of the New Testament fulfillment. And we sing these words of the meek and inheriting the land in the sense of the meek inheriting the culmination of the promises of God that he gives to his people. And so this meekness, this strength that has self-control and gentleness built into it, this meekness and those with this meek character are going to inherit the promises of God. So again, going back to our introduction, it's crucial we understand whether or not we possess and exhibit this meekness. Well, what does it look like? Well, we started off with Moses. There's actually a better, more vivid explanation and example of meekness. And that's found in our Savior himself. In our call to worship this evening, we quoted Matthew 11, verse 29, where we've got Jesus there saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Had we gone on, we would have seen these words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why? "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." The key thing for us to underline here in your Bibles is, if in the word they are gentle, it's exactly the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, as meek. Here is Jesus describing himself. He says that I am meek and humble in heart. His opening up of the inner character of the Savior that amazed people by what he said and by what he did and how he cared and how he fixed what was broken and how he stood for truth and uprightness. When you look even further deeper into this Savior, what do you find? Well, it's the only self-description Jesus gives, isn't it? And he sees of himself that I am meek and I am humble in heart. That there is a meekness, there is a gentleness at the very core of who Jesus is. He's not someone who's trigger happy. He's not someone who's harsh. He's not someone who explodes at the slightest thing. Far from it. He is one who is the most understanding individual who has ever walked in the face of this earth. He's the one who looks down from glory tonight with the same eyes that looked round the world as he saw it when he walked upon this earth. And with that sense of understanding, that sense of meekness, that sense of humility as he looks at you and as he looks at me. He's the one who would fulfill what Isaiah would say, that a bruised reed he would not break. So a bruised reed, it's bent over, and you think, well, what possible use is it now? You're as well just ripping it off, aren't you? But no, Jesus. No, there's a meekness. There's a gentleness to Jesus as he takes that and as he very tenderly deals with it. And the analogy is obviously taken to people as he deals with those of us who have our brokenness and those of us who have our fragility and we wonder, well, is there actually any way forward just given the mess that we're in, given the wounds that we carry, given the hurts that we've caused and the hurts that have been caused to us, and then we remember that Jesus, well, because he is meek and humble in heart, he'll take what is almost broken, and he'll bind it up, and he'll deal with it in a way that nobody else can, because that's his heart. And nobody would look at the presentation that we have of Jesus in the Gospels and somehow conclude, well, Jesus was weak, because they would know that would be completely wrong, wouldn't they? Because all they would need to do would be to recall Jesus going into the temple there in John chapter 2, and he sees the mess that they've made of the house of God, the place of prayer for the Gentiles of the world to come. Well, it's now just a stock market, literally. And he's going in there and he's overturning the tables and he's getting shot at these animals and the carnage that's been caused, people grabbing on the money men on the floor, trying to grab as many coins as they can, whether they're their coins or not. Is that a sign of weakness? When Jesus got word of Lazarus being unwell and then Lazarus' death, Thomas said to him, listen, you can't go back to Judea. You can't go back to that area because people there, they wanted to get you. They wanted to take you out. And yet Jesus is quite happy, quite willing to go back into that area where there's effectively an arrest warrant issued for him by the religious authorities of the day. Is that weakness? Absolutely not. Because you see, when Jesus had to show strength in the face of the hypocrisy and the damage that was being caused by the religious leaders of the day, he was able to do so. And yet when Jesus came across those who were broken and those who were hurting and those who were grieving and those whose past lives had caught up with them, those whose present lives had left them in danger, what do we find? We find someone who is meek, with that strength, with that self-control, with that gentleness, caring for those who found themselves in that position. So that's who Jesus is. That is in many ways, it's the great example, isn't it, of meekness? Because when in difficulty, he doesn't retaliate. He's not vindictive. when he's confronted by Pilate's accusations, when he's having to deal with the betrayal of his disciples, the denial of Peter, when he's there being nailed to a cross, and he's praying for those who are doing this to him. You see, Jesus he's in control there, isn't he? He's radiating power. And so when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," he's not only delivering teaching, he's delivering a summary of how he lived. He lived that life. That is the heart of Jesus. And so therefore, if we've tried to ask the question, what is meekness and what does meekness give and what is an example of meekness, then we have to deal with our fourth question, which is the most difficult question. What does meekness look like in your life and mine? How do we root this teaching in your life and in my life? And there's two or three things we need to be aware of here. Number one, meekness is a process. Meekness is a process. We could go back to the guy that we're going to invite to deliver a TED Talk or the after-dinner speaker circuit in Moses. And we could think of the various different things that we thought of with regard to his leadership and his courage and his coping with criticism and all that stuff. And then we realize, well, actually, what makes Moses stand out is his meekness. But then someone would turn around and say, well, listen, but he wasn't always meek, was he? And the answer is obviously not. He wasn't. He's a guy who was impetuous. He was a guy who was self-willed. Acts chapter 7, verse 24, following, seems to imply that Moses knew that he had this calling upon his life to lead the people of God, but he was going to do it in his way, in his timing, and look at the damage that was caused. Someone ends up losing their life because of his conduct, because of his behavior. And then there's this period of 40 years where he is away from any public role. Where he is there having to have this self-confidence, this self-will dealt with. As he goes through this period in his life, which would include mourning over the sin that he has committed, to the point at which when God calls him, he is ready. Because there is now a meekness in his character that he can be used by God. And so the thing about meekness for you and for me is that this is a process. And perhaps, because I don't know for definite, but perhaps some of the struggles that you and I are passing through are part of God's way of honing us and shaping us to have something of that meekness of Jesus Christ that will be evident in our lives. Because as sure as anything, meekness doesn't come you waking up one Monday morning and it's there. The night before it wasn't, the day after it is, it's there. Meekness is a process that we need to be part of for this to come into our existence. Meekness for you and I, it involves a perspective. It involves a perspective on how we view ourselves. There's a fantastic resource, messages that were delivered by a preacher, middle of last century, a guy called Martin Lloyd-Jones in London. He's got a book on the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the statements that he has in his very helpful commentary on these words is, and I don't have it kind of quoted for definite, but it's along the lines that the person who is truly meek is amazed that God and men and women actually think of and deal with them as highly as they actually do. That the meek person is amazed at how other people treat them, because the meek person knows what they are like and knows that they don't deserve necessarily to be treated the way other people are treating them in a positive way, because we know what we're like. There's no sugarcoating the reality of the areas of our lives that are not the way they should be. We see us, ourselves, there's a degree of honesty about the areas of our lives that we know are not right. And so the perspective that we have is an accurate perspective. It's not a perspective shaped by what other people may say to us, because other people don't really know us, do they? Other people can think very highly of us, or they can think very lowly of us, but they don't really know us. But we know what we're like. And when people treat us well, the meek person is amazed that we are treated well. The meek person understands that there is these gaping issues in our lives that need to be addressed. Because, you know, it's one thing for somebody to acknowledge that we are pure in spirit, to acknowledge that we mourn over our sin. But if somebody were to highlight our sin to us, then we somehow react, don't we? And we've got that defensive streak. And as we mentioned so often, we hire instantly the inner lawyer to stand up and to actually fight back and to give some kind of analysis. Well, you're wrong. Well, the meek person doesn't do that. Because the meek person realizes themselves and realizes even if other people say to them about the hypocrisies or about the gaping inconsistencies, they don't take offense because they recognize that is exactly what we are like. Because we're not those who are into self-defense in that way. The meek person has a different perspective. And so therefore, there's a number of things to ask myself and for me to ask you tonight as to where we maybe land on a kind of meekness scale this evening. So let me ask myself and let me ask you, just how quickly are we given to harshness as opposed to gentleness? How much easier do we find it to grasp things than to give things? Are we the type of people who are quite vengeful, holding on, bitterly holding on? Or are we the type of folks who let go? Do we have that mirroring of Jesus's meekness in our reactions? And I don't know about you, but I just see I see gaping holes in my life here. So what do I do? Maybe you've got holes in your life as well. What do you do? Well, here's the thing. It's a process for meekness to be evident in our lives. It requires a correct perspective to what we're like. But here's the thing, it requires a prayerfulness to ask for this. Because you see, meekness is part of the spiritual gift that God the Holy Spirit can give to us. If you read in Galatians chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit and the different ways in which you can see the shine of the diamond almost of the Spirit-filled life, then the gentleness that's referred to there is the same as the meekness that Jesus refers to here. And so of all these gifts of the Spirit are things that we can pray for. And knowing that we are praying in accordance with the will of God, we can pray for this spirit of meekness to be ours. And as well as praying, we can take Jesus at his word. We can take Jesus at his word where he says to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek, gentle, and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you." So in other words, be right beside me. Be joined to me in that sense. Move when I move. Stop when I stop. Speak when I speak. Be silent when I'm silent. Learn from me. Be as close to me as you can. Because that prayerfulness, seeking this meekness to reflect Jesus as we seek to stay close to Jesus, well, that is something that our Heavenly Father would be delighting to give to us, because he wants us to be like our Savior. And the reality is, this meekness that would be exhibited personally, if that was the case, then it becomes exhibited in how we deal with each other. The letter to James reminds us that meekness is one of the characteristics as to how we will receive the truth of God. We don't receive it with a sense of arrogance. We receive it with a sense of meekness. that we are hearing from our God. When Peter tells us that we're always to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have within us, we're to do it with gentleness and respect. The word gentleness there is what? You guessed it, it's meekness. It's to do it with meekness and respect. So how we receive the word of God, how we share the word of God, and on multiple occasions, 1 Corinthians 4, amongst others, Colossians 1, how we deal with the people of God is as we are clothed in meekness. And so you see, meekness is not some just added extra that, you know, the creme de la creme of the people of God can somehow seek after. This is what those who are part of the kingdom of God will possess and will seek to possess more of to reflect our King. And so the question for us tonight, therefore, is twofold. Are we going to respond to this need for meekness by coming before God and asking for this grace, asking for this closeness with our Savior, so that we might know His approval and know the promises that come for those who are approved and for those who have not yet even entered this kingdom, for those who have not yet bowed their knee before King Jesus, for those who have not yet appreciated the wonder of His heart, for those who are lost, that today, tonight, right now, you would hear the voice of the one whose heart is meek and humble, who calls you with all of your brokenness to Himself, for Him to make you well, to keep you, to love you, to care for you, to lead you, and to one day bring you home into His kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Amen.